Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's great to be with you as always. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance to use it to your advantage. It's free. You can use it all you want. You can go back and just use it to your little heart's content to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And that's whether you are already a small business owner or if you want to be. If you're planning one, if you're thinking about it, and research shows that 1 out of 12 of you are doing that, are looking into starting a business. We got some good stuff coming up straight ahead with our good friend Joan Pride. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're going to talk about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Jim.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here. It's been such a long time.
I know. It was yesterday.
A whole 24 hours.
Folks, in case you missed yesterday, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Right.
And Joan is a 6-year survivor.
Pretty impressive, huh?
Giving you a standing ovation, Joan.
Yeah. And the crowd went wild.
Yeah, that's right. And so we had three survivors on yesterday, all three members of my brain trust, Joan and Paula Lovell and Lois Geller. And so they were on yesterday helping us to recognize Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so that's what she was referring to. But today you're not feeling so great, are you?
I have a nasty cold, so I want to apologize not to you, but to your listeners in advance.
God forbid you should apologize to me. It's only my show. Yeah, if she does cough, folks, we're gonna tell Joan that that's ambiance today. So don't hold anything back like you would anyway. Before we get into the letter, there's something going on today that I want to just touch on just a little bit, and that's the immigration bill that the president's going to sign. Have you been keeping up with this at all, Joan? I know you were off yesterday.
No, I actually did not realize he was going to sign it today. But tell your listeners, this is not the big comprehensive bill that they were talking about earlier.
And I'm not even sure it should be called an immigration bill. It's really more of
a border security bill?
It's more of a police action bill. It's to build, 800 miles or something like several hundred miles. I've got it here somewhere. Several hundred miles of a fence along the border, along the 2,000-mile border, and they're going to build this thing. It's going to be like a double barrier type of fence, but the bill apparently has nothing. Doesn't have anything. They didn't get any of the amnesty, the guest worker. None of the policy stuff got in there, did it, Joan?
I don't think so. So you're right. This really isn't an immigration bill at all.
No, I don't think it is.
It's a defense bill.
It impacts illegal immigration if it
True.
Gets done.
True.
Because allegedly it will keep some of the folks out. And apparently there's one area along the border that's the most porous, and that's where they're going to put this. And it seems that they've set aside $1.2 billion for to begin the thing. But, Joan, no one knows what this thing's going to cost. Do you know that?
Well, that's a little scary.
Sounds like Katrina, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's not good.
Exactly. $1.2 billion will get the thing rolling, but they don't know what it's going to cost. And so we'll have to keep our eye.
When you say this is like a double fence, the idea is you can get through the first part and get trapped between the two.
Well, I was just going by, and I can't find what I was looking for, but they were calling it a double barrier fence kind of thing. You know, it's got multiple barriers of some kind. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but this is brand new stuff. I mean, it's just come out overnight, basically. And so it's just going to be, I don't know how tall it's going to be. It's just going to be a fence that they're going to put around several hundred miles as part of this. I guess it's going to be like the Great Wall of Texas. Joe.
Wow.
You've heard of the Great Wall of China. This is going to be, or the Great Wall of New Mexico. I'm not sure even where it's going to be, but it's Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. I don't know if California, I guess California probably too. Who knows?
I think a lot of folks are coming in through Arizona these days, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Joan, getting to the letter, if I'm reading this correctly, Kiplinger is basically giving up on the Republicans keeping the Senate and the House?
Well, I think what they're trying to do, they've definitely called the House for the Democrats. And they're leaning the Senate a lot toward the Democrats. But I think when everybody talked about this, they agreed you really can't call the Senate yet either way. Mm-hmm. Because there's three states, and I will get into this more, but there's certain key states where those races are just too close to call. And the interesting thing, though, in the Senate, it wasn't supposed to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not convinced the Democrats can take the Senate, but that was supposed to be a foregone conclusion a few months ago.
Right.
So the fact that it's even in play now for a political junkie like me is just sort of interesting.
Well, what is it? Missouri, Tennessee, and Pennsylvania, Virginia. What's the third one?
Well, it was going to be. Originally, it was going to be Missouri, Tennessee, and Ohio that the Republicans were going to pour money into to hold on to. But I think they've determined that the incumbent in Ohio, Senator DeWine, is can't be saved, in other words.
Wow.
So
he's a long-term senator, too, isn't he?
Yes, he is. So they've
And a good one, too.
And well, my understanding is, as far as I know, they are not pouring money into Ohio anymore. They're going to switch to Virginia.
You know, I'm trying to imagine, Joan, how that must feel to be a long-term journeyman, you know, in any party. And you're a senator. You're one of 100 people, you know, 100 unique people on planet Earth, and United States senator. And your party, you know, doesn't take your calls anymore. That kind of thing. That's got to be a little bit of a sick feeling, isn't it?
Well, I guess if you're a long-standing politician, you know that's politics, but it's still got to be tough.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got the feeling. These people do have feelings, and so that's got to be tough. So now it's moved over to Pennsylvania and Virginia. Is that right?
No, I think it's Missouri, Tennessee, and Virginia.
Yeah. Okay.
I could do a whole show just on Virginia if you want.
I know. Well, you know, the only thing about it, Joan, is as we've seen over the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's only going to be, what's it, about a week and a half, almost, a little less than 2 weeks till the election. There's plenty of time for people in both sides of the aisle to step in stuff, you know. There's a lot of stuff that can turn these things around. It's 20 after. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's great to be with you, to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence, just like we consider Joan Pride to be highly intelligent. You get to be like Joan. Wouldn't that be great? Joan, people aspire to be you, don't they, Joan?
I'm stunned. I had no idea.
Hey, Joan, and folks, we're talking about what are the prospects for both parties in the upcoming election? Are the Republicans going to lose control of one or both of the houses of Congress, or are the Democrats going to emerge? There's a lot of time left. Even though the time left is not very long, we both know, Joan, there's plenty of time for things to be revealed or for politicians to screw up or whatever, and it could go either way. And I know that the Democrats have basically said, if I'm not mistaken, Joan, I think I heard Senator Schumer of New York the other day on television say, we must take Missouri. If we don't take Missouri, we can't take the Senate. I think he said that. I think Missouri was where he's talking about. But you've got some news from Virginia, don't you?
Yes, and just by way of quick background, in Virginia, Senator George Allen is running, trying to get reelected, and his challenger is James Webb, who I believe is a former Secretary of the Navy,
I think,
like that.
Yep.
But in any case,
yep.
That race was supposed to be a slam dunk for Allen, I guess, a few months ago, and it's gotten tight. I won't go into all the reasons why it got tight, but it's very, very tight.
Well, he opened. We won't go into all of it, but he said some things that came back to haunt him. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. But the reason I think he's probably going to win is there's something on the ballot that I don't think anybody's talking about. There is a proposed constitutional amendment, you know, amend the state constitution to ban gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of amendment on the ballot is going to bring out conservatives who would vote for Allen.
Hmm.
And I would think when all this was going on months and months ago, people probably thought Senator Allen would have enough coattails to get that amendment passed. But I'm wondering if the amendment's going to have coattails and help get Senator Allen elected.
How about that? And you're only going to get that kind of political perspective on the Small Business Advocate Show because
you
Joan
need to pay me more.
From Joan, that's exactly right. Well, Joan, there'll be a little extra in your pay envelope this week. Well done. That's a little inside Virginia baseball there.
I haven't read that anywhere, and I noticed that when I was going through the ballot, and I couldn't believe it.
Well, this weekend, Bill Kristol and Robert Novak will be quoting you because they listen to the show, and they'll be quoting you on the Talking Head shows this weekend.
Well, they darn well better be. And if what I say is true, it's going to be very. I think it will be very hard for the Democrats to take the Senate because I think they need Missouri, Tennessee, Virginia, and they need to hold on to a Democratic seat in New Jersey held by Senator Robert Menendez, who is in a very, very tight race.
Well, the Democrats have got other challenges too on the Senate because they're going to lose Connecticut.
Well,
Joe Lieberman's going to win as an independent in Connecticut.
Right, but if he votes with the Democrats, that would be considered a Democratic
seat, I think. But he's never always voted with it. He's always been an independent, an intellectually honest person, which is one of the reasons why I consider him to be one of the finest examples of a statesman that we have right now.
Yeah, and it will be interesting how that plays out.
He won't be beholden to them because they basically rolled him under the bus.
Well,
the Democrats.
That's true. They
I can't wait. I can't wait to see that play out, Joan. I can't wait to see how he votes on issues as things play out. Because he is a very a scrupulous person. He's a very moral person.
Right.
And I like Joe Lieberman. I always did. Anyway. Okay. The Ford in Tennessee is having a few challenges. It looked like he was emerging, but he's done a few things lately that's caused some concern, and so it'll be interesting to see.
He's interesting, too, because I think that the man's name is Corker, is that right?
Yep,
the Republican.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
That was another place where you would have assumed that the Republican would win beyond any shadow of a doubt because it's Tennessee. But the fact that Ford had tightened the race was making people wonder. But I don't know if Ford can win there either.
But let me read this thing. Switching over to the other house, here's the word from Kiplinger, folks. Mm-hmm. They're certain, they're being the Republicans. Kiplinger says Republicans are certain to give the house away. Now, was that an intentional use of those words, Joan?
I think
if they lose it, you're accurate. I mean, I think they will have given the house away.
Right. Giving it as a gift. Well, yeah, they're not giving it as a gift. They're losing it.
Well, but the way they behaved has been to give it as a gift.
Is my point. I see what you're
and
saying.
And I think may be what whoever wrote this, what they were thinking, because I think both houses were the Democrat, were the Republicans. They've done plenty of things to cause them, if they lose anything. And I don't think there's any question that they're going to lose seats in the House now. I think in the last week or so, Joan, whether they lose the House completely may be less clear now. I think there's some things going on that may be less clear, but it'll be interesting to see. One of the things, Joan, that I don't get though is how many of these guys are running especially on the Democrat side, on the economy being bad. And I don't see that economy they're talking about, Joan, especially if you look at the economic forecast that you guys show in your letter here. I mean, this is good economic news, isn't it?
Overall, yes. I think some people look at their own personal situations and think it's not good. So that may be a region-by-region problem.
4.6 unemployment, gas going down, GDP going up, inflation's holding steady. New businesses being created whenever somebody wants to create one. That is a great economy, and anybody who says otherwise, you know, if you just lost your job, maybe you can say that, but you know what? There's one around the corner. Just go get it. 29 after. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
This is Bad Boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for hanging around with us today. We got good stuff still to come on the Small Business Advocate Show. Having a great visit with our good friend Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, you guys have got new stuff going on your website, don't you?
We sure do. We've redesigned the website. That's www.kiplinger.com, and I think it looks really cool. So I'm hoping you can just go right in there and look at everything you want, all free, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. And very informative.
I'm going to go there right now if I can get there. If I don't type it, type in the wrong. There it is. Hey, that looks great.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been there since the new redesign.
And it's all kind of integrated now.
Yeah. So, folks, you can. I really do encourage you. I always have encouraged you to use their website and a lot of good stuff there. A lot of things you can use for free. There's a lot of really serious good stuff back in the behind the firewall, so to speak, for subscribers. If you want to really get all the stuff, you can. If you subscribe to any of the letters, Joan, you get access to the forecasts and all that sort of thing. So
well,
I encourage you to do
that. Point. You can't get everything for free, but we're kind of giving people more of a look to what's in the subscription based. Stuff such as the Kiplinger letter and the Kiplinger tax letter. So you can get some of that, but you can't get all of it. You'd have to subscribe to get everything.
Right. But you also get the letters.
Exactly.
See, you get the tax letter or the agriculture letter or the California letter, which are biweekly, and of course the one I'm kind of partial to is the Kiplinger letter, the weekly letter that Joan and I work off of. And of course I'm extra special partial to the tax letter, Joan.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Okay. That's at Kiplinger.com, folks. And don't forget to subscribe. You can do that right there online. Or you can call a phone number. Won't you give us that, Joan?
Right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And don't forget to consider the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine, too. Joan, one of the things you guys point out in this letter is that if the Democrats do win the Senate, it won't be an all-liberal show. Now, what does that mean?
Well, this is kind of interesting because they're kind of all over the board in the Senate, as you know. And the leader of the Democrats in the Senate is Harry Reid,
right,
who is a pro-business moderate. And we talk about other folks who would be chairman of the committees if the Democrats took the Senate. And one good example is Max Baucus of Montana, who has pretty much worked in a very bipartisan way with the current chairman.
He's a good
Chuck
senator. I agree with that. Senator Dodd, though, will have banking, and even though he's a pretty liberal guy, he's out of Connecticut. He does have some connections to business. But, you know, you talked about Harry Reid. One of the things that concerns me about Harry Reid is he's the guy who came out and tried to proclaim, or did proclaim, even though he was wrong, that he had killed the Patriot Act. Now, I don't get that about Democrats, Joan. I don't understand. because, you know, and Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, the presumptive next Speaker of the House, says that, you know, we're going to repeal the Patriot Act or portions of it or something like that. I don't think that, for some reason, I don't think that's a smart thing for them to say. I think Americans, by and large, think that the Patriot Act is a good thing because we have it now. We didn't have it before we got attacked. We have it now, and we haven't been attacked. Now, you can go into all the nuances that anybody might want to, but that's a pretty good track record, and I think most people think the Patriot Act is a good thing. I think that's a loser for the Democrats.
Well, I think what they need to do is explain why they want to repeal parts of it. I'm not an expert on the Patriot Act. I know folks who have problems with it are concerned about privacy issues and Big Brother issues, mm-hmm. so that's what they may be talking about. I don't know.
Well, I understand, but I think, and I've heard people that I've spoken to, and I've heard other people being polled about this, and they say that, you know what, I don't have anything to hide. If infringing on my privacy a little bit helps you get the bad guys, it's okay. I mean, a lot of people feel that way in America.
Okay.
I think it's some of the Upper East Side elites that feel a little bit more like that, Joan. Maybe that rather than the rank and file folks across the country. So if the Democrats took the Senate, you guys are saying it won't be as bad, especially for business. But then there would be Ted Kennedy, Joan, and Ted Kennedy.
Yes, tell us about Ted Kennedy.
Well, he's not good for business, in my opinion. Ted Kennedy would bring up the minimum wage again, but maybe if he got one of the leadership positions in the Senate, maybe he would come on my show and explain to us why we need a minimum wage increase. It's 20 till. Joan Pryde and I will be right back after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pryde, senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, let's move down and talk about page two. Let's talk about some taxes. Let's leave the election behind and talk about taxes. What's the news on the home office tax break?
Well, anybody out there who takes the home office deduction is going to like this. The IRS is working on a simplified version of the deduction. Anybody who takes it now knows that there's a form, Form 8829. It's 42 lines. It's a pain in the neck. And what the IRS is trying to do is come up with a way of taking the deduction that's more like, for example, the standard mileage rate for driving for business, mm-hmm. or even the standard deduction for people who don't itemize their deductions. Just a very simple, you know, if you can answer these three questions, yes, about qualifying for a home office, then you can take this deduction, which may be, for example, you know, X number of dollars per square foot of mm-hmm. your office.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I started doing that for the very first time?
Yeah.
1976.
Wow. 30
years ago.
My goodness.
I had a home office. I worked for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a home office. And I worked out of an office that I built in the basement of my home. And I deducted the expense of that office. I amortized the square footage of the, you know, and took a percentage of that. I took a percentage of the utilities, the taxes, the maintenance, the telephone I wrote off, all the business expenses. I did all that, and that was long before it was generally accepted practice to take home office
right.
deductions.
But so, it requires a lot of, you know, careful record keeping.
What it does, and I talked to an accountant about it, and he showed me how to do it, and we did it, and we did it, and I did it every year, and then I did it again in, you know, beginning in 89 when I went back to my home office for a while. I encourage people to do this, folks. You need to take advantage of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Joan, there are millions, literally millions of people out there who have home offices now.
And I think too many people are afraid to take the deduction because they're afraid IRS will try to come after them.
Right.
But as long as you can substantiate it, you won't have any problem.
Right. Absolutely. No, I think you're right. And even though, you know, they're actually, when I did it, I think they were actually, they're actually, you know, for the first time, I think there actually was like a, you know, like a resistance by the IRS to let you do that. But, you know, I actually got audited once, and I had my records laying right there, and they really couldn't find a reason to turn me down.
Oh, they must hate that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they didn't like that. They didn't make them happy. What about some other things? Are they going to offer, are they going to be improving the tax code, simplifying the tax code in the future, Joan?
Well, in a general way, I don't know. I wouldn't hope for too much there.
Yeah. Well, maybe this tax, I know one thing, this home office change is going to simplify the lives of a lot of people. Joan, let's move over and talk about some of the things that are going on in the states. You guys talk about some of the states are getting help from the private sectors. I tell you, I really like this. This is another reason why the economy, I think, in the United States is doing good, because more and more government organizations are making partners with private sector organizations to fulfill some of their services, aren't they?
Exactly, right.
Like garbage collection or, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of school systems, Joan, are leasing the entire school bus operation from professional organizations. Do you know that?
I did not know that. No.
Oh, yeah. It's a big industry right now.
Wow.
I mean, why would a school system need to be in the bus business? You know, when there are people
right.
who are, they've got qualified, certified drivers, they've got the best buses, they got people who do that, they do the maintenance, and then, of course, there are a lot of different ways that they can do this. But my point is that, and you guys point this out this week, is how many more states are getting help from private sectors by finding those privatization partners?
And we do say that transportation is the most popular field, not just school buses, but also managing roads, highways, special lanes for trucks, things like that.
Well, and you know, another organization that's been doing this now for a long time since I got left their employ, and that's the military. You know, when I was in the Army, all food was served by soldiers.
Oh, no.
We had our own cooks. In fact, I was a commander of a unit one time for 3.5 years, and I had my own mess hall. My people were fed by my people, so to speak. But now, you know, my son's in the Marines, and most of the meals he eats are served by contractors.
And does that make the food better, do you think?
I think he says it. I'm not sure. I think it may. I haven't eaten any of that kind of food in a long, long time. Thank God. I think he says that it does. Joan, let's move down and talk about small business. You got some good news on small businesses here, don't you?
Right. Well, when small businesses need a bond, you know, if they want to get a contract or something like that, it may be hard to go to a surety firm and get that bond if they don't have a good track record. The SBA has a program for this. There's been some problems with the program, but those problems are going to be fixed. The problems had caused some surety companies to leave the program, so it was mm-hmm. becoming harder to get these guarantees for these small companies.
Mm-hmm. Things are going to get a little better for them then, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
There's also a new website that you guys talk about, business.gov. We've talked to those folks a little bit. I think we're going to have those guys on the show before too long. Business.gov, folks, it's a new website that they've revamped, I should say, and it'll help you with compliance on the workplace, the environment, and record keeping. And as I say, we'll try to get those guys on a little bit later on. That's business.gov. Quick break, right back. We're going to talk about the economy when Joan Pride comes back. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, the economy is, you guys report, is just a little bit weaker in the third quarter. But really, you know, like I've said before, it's like going, instead of driving 100 miles an hour, we're now driving 70 miles an hour.
That's not
right?
bad. That's not bad.
So
we don't want to be driving 100 miles an hour, do we?
But see, if you were reading the newspapers, it would be saying, economy weakens. Bad news for Republicans. You know, but that's the kind of spin that the headline writers put on these things in the newspapers. If you were listening to the mainstream media, and I think they'd be doing this if the Democrats were in power, because they just can't stand anything that's not controversial. you know, if you read the newspapers and you especially the headlines, you'd think that we were in a depression, wouldn't you?
Well, what I've been reading is that the better economic news doesn't seem to be helping the GOP for some reason.
Well, that's because they do plenty of other stupid things to hurt themselves.
Ah, there you go.
I have to be honest with you, Joan. If the Republicans lose, they've done it to themselves.
Well,
there's nothing
like the Democrats did a few years ago.
There's nothing unfair about what has happened. If they lose, they won't be able to look back. I mean, okay, there's plenty of of stuff that has been done to them. But as somebody once said, politics ain't beanbag. You know, it's a blood sport.
Yeah.
But taking all that into consideration, Joan, the Republicans have done it to themselves. I don't think anybody can say that anything differently. In fact, Rich Galen's going to be on tomorrow. He's one of our Republican operatives.
Uh-huh.
He's a political hack, self-described. and I'm going to say that to him, and I don't think he'll argue with me. I think he knows that they have. I mean, they've done some things that have been pretty bonehead.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear his reaction.
Yeah, it will be. Joan, I want to stick one other thing in here before we go. Before we leave this part, the economy part, cheaper gasoline, you say, won't improve holiday sales very much.
Right.
Only about 4%?
Well, we say that that's a very small part of a household budget, especially, around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not doing as much driving as you would be in the summer. So we're saying holiday sales will rise, but and it's not going to be fueled by gas price drops.
Right, right. Well, because everybody's concerned that it'll go back up. Joan, I want to change subjects quickly for completely around. This is totally off the letter, but I wanted to say it sometime this week, and I think this is a good time to do it. In the last few days, CNN chose to accept a video from terrorists in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
showing the staging and the execution of. And I don't mean that as a play on words,
right?
Of a sniper attack on a group of Americans. They showed it on the Anderson Cooper program.
Right.
This was a gratuitous thing that they did. Somebody said that they paid for it. I don't know if they did this. This wasn't an AP video. This wasn't from their own people.
Yeah, this was not a CNN reporter covering this.
No. No, this was a staged event.
Right.
Controlled. You can even hear the person who's doing the video giving the command to shoot, apparently.
Wow.
All they had to do was tell the story. They didn't have to show the video. And Joan, these soldiers were killed. They were executed by these snipers.
Well, and you have to figure that's probably a propaganda video that they're showing.
That's exactly right. And so CNN became the witting dupes, not the unwitting, but the witting extension of basically the terrorists and Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
And Joan, I have to say, and I've never said this before, I've watched CNN for a long time, and I just filter their stuff out that I don't, you know, that I, when I know it's propaganda. But I have to say, Joan, as an American, and especially as an American with a son who is posted not very far from where those guys were, I'm going to be watching a lot less CNN from now on.
Yeah, I'm really puzzled as to why they would do that.
Well, a lot of people are. Even a lot of liberals are puzzled. People who don't like the war are puzzled about that. And I have to say, folks, you do whatever you want to do, ladies and gentlemen. But I can tell you right now, my consumption of CNN, of what CNN does in the future, is going to be little or nothing. And I don't know what they'll ever be able to do to redeem that. This was awful. And Joan, I appreciate you letting me get that off my chest.
Sure.
Thank you for being here. Even though I know you're not feeling well, we'll see you next time, and I hope you feel better.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.